Let us look at John, 3 John, verses 9 to 14. And this is the last segment of John's letter to his beloved brother in Christ, Gaius. And so last week or last Sunday, we have considered one of the three kinds of Christians noted in John's epistle. We learn of the commendation of Gaius, his faithfulness in walking in the truth of God. We learn of his exercise of spiritual gift of Christian hospitality, and the his supportive role to the missionaries as fellow helpers to the truth. The title for this afternoon's sermon is Condemnation and Recommendation. The reason for this title is because the first of the two characters mentioned in verses 9 to 14 is the person by the name of Diotrephus. And verse 9 tells us not something good about this person. He loves to have preeminence and receives not the apostles. So I name him as Diotrephus, the ego seeker, or you can call him Diotrephus, the proud, the arrogant. The apostle John noted that this person, Diotrephus, was motivated by a love for preeminence in the church. He was definitely not the last church leader to be so motivated. We sadly still see such happening or such people in many churches. The temptation of these people to use their role or their office in the church as a means of self-gratification, as a means of self-elevation or self-promotion, it remains very real that all of us, officers of the church, leaders of the church, including the pastors, including Sunday school teachers, including Bible study leaders, or those in some kind of a office in the church, we ought to be very careful to resist. And that is why we have this teaching from the Word of God, and particularly from the Apostle John, because this kind of character is still in our church today, not just in the early church. And so we see that as a result of Diotrephus' personal ambition, it resulted in his resistance or resisting the apostles' teaching. His pride led him to cut off relationship with the apostles' church and ignore the apostles' authority. And such characters, as I said before, are common not only in the early church, but sadly in many of our churches today. Even among the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus, we are told in the gospel that they too fall into this temptation, fall into this sin. They often argue over which of them would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. We read this in Matthew 18, verse 1, and the verses that follows. The Lord Jesus then have to remind them of their model, of their conduct for Christian ministry, that they as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and particularly as a minister of the Lord's ministry. They are not to be like the Roman officials who lord it over the people, but they are to look at Christ and to follow Christ, who came as a humble servant, take on the form of man, he being God, humbled himself, and even humbled himself to death. So therefore, they ought to look at Christ as the model, not those or in secular leadership or office. And therefore, it is applicable to us too, those of us who are Christians, those of us particular who are office bearers of the church. Those who are in position of spiritual leadership ought to put on, or learn to put on, or cultivate that spirit of servitude, just like our Lord Jesus. We must be careful not to allow the influences of the world, the philosophies of the world, the ways of the world, to come into the church. And that is why, sadly, many have fallen that way. We see in many churches this day, CEOs, directors, managers, and not servants of the Lord. They have brought in the ways and practices of the world into the church, which is opposite and against the teachings of our Lord Jesus. Diotrephus was motivated by pride. Instead of giving preeminence to the Lord Jesus, as we have studied in Colossians 1:18, he claimed it for himself. He wants to be the one who has the final say about everything in the church. And his decision was determined by one thing: what this will do for Diotrephus, or how this will elevate my image, my position, my standing. He was most unlike John the Baptist, who said what? He, Jesus, the Lord Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. John 3, verse 30. And when we look at the Greek word of the conduct of Diotrephus, it indicates that it was a constant attitude of this person to promote himself. Whenever a church has a resident dictator or a pope in its membership, there are bound to be strife, contention, and then the Holy Spirit is grieved when the members of the body are not permitted to exercise their spiritual gifts, because one member must have his or her own way. Oh, brethren, let us take heed. Let us examine ourselves. Let us examine our motives. Let us not allow pride to surface and to ruin and destroy the ministry of the church, the fellowship and the relationship of fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, we will discover how many hearts have been broken, how many churches divided and destroyed because of the arrogant conduct of people like Diotrephus. Moving on, let us consider what this man was doing. Firstly, in verse 9, we were told that he would not receive the apostles. And this is incredible to think that the church leader, and very likely Diotrephus may have been an elder, because we read in verse 10 that he excommunicated or cast out members of the church on his own, and that he would not have fellowship with one of our Lord's own apostles, the Apostle John. What was the reason of his refusal of the apostles? Is it because the apostles are bringing in the wrong teaching? No. Because the Lord Jesus was not preeminent in his life. Therefore, Diotrephus could afford to treat this senior apostle in this way. And the obvious reason why the Apostle John was rejected, because this Apostle John challenged this man's right to be the dictator in the church. This Apostle John is prepared to speak the truth in love. He is not going to play the game to feed the pride of Diotrephes. And this also ought to be what we should do as fellow believers, as members of the body of Christ. We have the responsibility to rebuild, to admonish, to discourage, or rather to encourage, and we have the responsibility to speak the truth when it is necessary, but we are to do so, of course, in love, not for self-glory, not for self-promotion. Diotrephes definitely felt threatened because the Apostle John had the authority as an apostle. He knew the truth about Diotrephes and he was willing to make it known. Not because he had something to grind with Diotrephes, but the Apostle John, being the apostle, knowing the ill effect, the damage that will be done to the church, he has to deal with this issue. Satan was at work in the church because Diotrephes was operating on the basis of pride and self-glorification, which are two of the devil's main tools. Furthermore, verse 10a tells us that Diotrephes lied about the Apostle John. The phrase threatening with us against us with malicious words means to bring false and empty charges against us. So what Diotrephes was saying, what the teaching of the Apostle Paul or the saying of the Apostle Paul was nonsense and untrue. But there are, of course, people who are on the side of Diotrephes, because these are the people who love to hear such gossip without verifying and believe it. However, the Apostle John, knowing that it is his responsibility that he is called to do, not to follow such sinful behavior and not to allow such sinful behavior to spread or to influence other members of the church, warned that the day would soon come when he would implement church discipline to Diotrephes, the ego seeker. Beloved brethren, as Christians, as Christian believers, you and I must be very careful not to believe everything that you hear or read about God's servant, about God's minister, or about this fellow believer, this Christian, particularly those who are in the ministry, who are well known, whose ministry that the Lord is blessing in a singular way. Let us exercise due diligence and caution to verify some of this information that we hear or read about, because many Christians are played into the hands of the evil one to smear the name of God's minister, to smear the name of God's servant, pastors, leaders, teachers, and spread rumors about them by believing in certain publication, the publication of the church newspaper that are undocumented accusations. We all do well, brethren, to exercise diligence before we open our mouth to criticize or even to bring this up. We do well to filter our reports or all these reports through the teachings of Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on this thing. And therefore we are to pray that the Lord will give us wisdom, that the Lord will fill us with his spirit of discernment, that we will not fall into the trap of Satan to easily take in all these rumors and all this unverified information and to then promote it or spread it, which result in great damage and hurt to the other person. And then in verse 10b, we read that he rejected the brethren. Diotrephus would not even receive the other brethren because they were in fellowship with the Apostle John. It was guilt by association. It is impossible, isn't it, to practice this kind of so-called separation with any degree of consistency. Why? Because nobody can always know all that he needs to know about the other, what the other person is doing. Such kind of so-called separation is unbiblical and sinful. Scriptures make it very clear to us that believers should have no fellowship with apostates. This is true, as shown in 2 Peter. And that we must refrain from association and entangling alliances with unbelievers, according to the teaching of Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:14. But it is also true that believers must also avoid those whose doctrinal position is contrary to Scripture. Romans 16, verse 17 to 19. However, this does not mean that we cooperate only with those believers who interpret Scripture or whose conviction is exactly to the letter as we do. If they are not, then we reject them. No, because we must realize that even good and godly people, as we know, disagree on some matters, such as church government and or prophecy. But all true believers, all true Christians can agree on the fundamental doctrines of the faith and in love give latitude for disagreement on other matters. However, take note that to break personal fellowship with a brother or sister in Christ because I disagree with his or her circle of friends is going beyond Scripture. Diotrephus rejected the Apostle John, and then he rejected the believers associated with the Apostle. But he went even further. The fourth thing Diotrephus did was he excommunicated those who disagree with him. And it is indeed strange. He is certainly the Pope of the Church, because exercising of this church discipline to reach the state of excommunication is not the decision of one elder. It must be the decision of the presbytery after examining all the case and done all due diligence in finding out the truth. The church members who have fellowship with the brethren associated with the apostle were dismissed from the church. Again, this was guilt by association. Diotrephus had neither the authority nor the biblical basis for throwing these people out of the church, but he did it. Oh, brethren, indeed, how sad and how tragic it is to have such member or such leader in the church, isn't it? And that is why I often warn and sum up to all of us, let us not be quick to welcome or to accept people coming into the church, seeking membership in the church. And we ought to exercise due diligence in admitting them into church membership and also in the election of church officers and teachers. Be very, very careful. And as I said the last time, a little leaven leaveneth much. And therefore, you and I ought to seek the Lord's mind and seek the Lord's help to discern carefully and be sharp to pick up the signs. Thank God. Thank the Lord that though the church, all of us, from time to time, may have to deal with such issues and such people in the church, thank the Lord that He has provided for us biblical principles to deal with such people and such issues in the church. The Bible teaches church discipline indeed. And this instruction ought to be obeyed. Church discipline is not an option, but it is a command. In fact, the French theologian John Calvin, and together with other reformers, rightly pointed out that church discipline is one of a sign of a true church. If a church that does not exercise discipline on her members who went in the way of error and sin and leave it as it is, then that church is not the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But church discipline is not a weapon for a dictator to use to protect himself. It is an instrument for a congregation to use to promote purity in the church and glorify God. Neither is it for the pastor to use church discipline to throw his weight around, or a church session acting like a police court. And neither is it a back door to get rid of troublemakers in the church. Rather, brethren, church discipline is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself exercising spiritual authority through the leaders of the church, through a local church, in order to, listen to this very carefully, in order to rescue and restore an erring child of God who has stepped out of the line. It is for the purpose of restoration, just like the Lord Jesus did to the Apostle Peter, who denied Christ 3 times. The Lord forgiven him, restored him, when Peter repented of his sin. And it has been my experience during my short 20 years in the ministry to experience that most of the distress, most of the division in the local churches and between churches has resulted not because of some doctrinal thing. Yes, there are such cases, but more so from personalities more than anything else. If only you and I would return to the New Testament principle of making the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ our test for fellowship, rather than association and interpretation of non-essential doctrine, then the church, then the Lord will indeed pour forth His blessing upon His people. But sadly, we have people like Diotrephus will always have their enthusiastic followers, because many sincere but immature and untaught Christians prefer to follow such charismatic leaders. We come now to the final character mentioned in the Apostle's letter. He is the person by the name of Demetrius, and we want to call him Demetrius the Exemplar. He is a fine example, an ideal model, you can say, an example worthy for us to imitate. Demetrius was that kind of a Christian. The Apostle John wants us not to imitate Diotrephus. If you want an example to imitate, then follow Demetrius. But is it right for us to imitate human leaders? Are we not told to follow the examples of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, there is no sin to follow human leaders if they, in turn, are imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians 3:17. What did Paul say? Brethren, be followers together of me, together with the Apostle Paul, and mark them which walk so as ye have asked for an example. And then Paul also repeated the same teaching in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Be ye followers of me. Who is the me? The Apostle Paul. Even as I also am of Christ. You and I cannot see God, but we can see God at work in the lives of His children, in the lives of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The godly life and faithful service of another believer is always an encouragement and a stimulus to other believers. Is it not true? When you see a fellow brothers and sisters in Christ fervent for the Lord, are you not encouraged? Are you not inspired? So by our good example, our good testimony, our Christ-like testimony, we can consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Hebrews 10:24. Demetrius was a man worth imitating because he had a good report, as we know from this verses. A good report means he is a good witness. And he has it from the fellow believers in his church. All the members of his church knew him, loved him, and thank God for his consistent life and ministry. Yes, while it is a dangerous thing when all men should speak well of you, as Luke 6:26 says, it is also a blessing indeed when all the believers in the local church can agree to commend your life and testimony. However, on the other hand, if all men, whether they are believers or unbelievers, whether they are doing good and evil, speak well of you, then be very careful. It may mean that you are compromising or masquerading, putting on the front. But for Demetrius not only had a good witness from the believers in the church, he also had a good witness from the world itself. The world itself. Demetrius had a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Verse 12. And yea, we also bear record. Demetrius had a good witness from the truth. Like Gaius, Demetrius walked in the truth and obeyed the word of God. Of course, this does not mean that either of these men was perfect, but it does show that they were consistent in their lives, seeking to honor and glorify the Lord. Both the church and the world bore witness to Demetrius' Christian life, and so did Apostle John himself. The beloved apostle knew firsthand that Demetrius was a man of God, and the apostle was not ashamed to confess it. He is not flattering Demetrius, but again, he is speaking the truth so as to highlight or to bring out the testimony of Demetrius so that other believers may walk in his example, so that other believers may be encouraged to do likewise like Demetrius. He had warned, the Apostle John had warned that he was going to visit the church and discipline Diotrephus. And no doubt both Gaius and Demetrius would stand with the Apostle in witnessing against Diotrephus, the ego seeker. Gaius and Demetrius were the kind of men who would support the truth regardless of their relationship with Diotrephus. And so for us, same, for the believers, if you are a followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, a Christian believer, when it is necessary and time for you to bring the truth out, even at the expense of friendship, even at the expense of your relationship with your family, but for truth, the truth of God, were you prepared? Are you prepared to stand up? Because this will mean end of your friendship with this person. It will mean hostility. It will mean hatred. It will mean that you are going to have a hard time. Because they follow the truth and they could safely be imitated by others. So therefore, as believers, we got to ask ourselves, and we need the help of God to exercise that, to speak the truth in love, to stand firm on the truth of God, no matter what. The conclusion of this letter in verses 13 to 14 is similar to the conclusion of 2 John, and perhaps was a standard way to end the letter in those days. The Apostle John planned to visit the church shortly or soon, which certainly was a warning to Diotrephus and an encouragement to Gaius and Demetrius. The beloved and John had many things to discuss with the church and its leaders, things that he would rather deal with personally rather than by a means of a letter. And so in verse 14 he says, "Peace be to thee." And this must have been a benediction of real encouragement to Gaius, because Gaius, no doubt, is troubled and distressed by what is happening in the church, with character like Diotrephus doing all the harm, abusing his power. And so we ask, can we as Christians living in a sin-cursed world with so much trouble and sorrow, can there be peace for us, the believers? Yes, it is possible. Though Gaius, his heart and mind were distressed because of the division and the quarrel in the church, and the unspiritual way of Diotrephus was abusing his members. However, he, together with all of us, the believers, we can truly enjoy the peace of God. Why? Because all of us, like Gaius, we have adequate resources, spiritual blessings and gifts in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle John was careful to send greetings also from the believers in the assembly with which he associated at that time. He says, "The friends send their greetings." That is another translation from apart from our AV. And indeed, isn't it true? And I'm sure you may have experienced this before. What a blessing it is to have Christian friends of like-minded faith. To have Christian friends of like-minded faith whom you have not met before. But when you meet together, it was such a joy that you find yourself being affiliated in such a way. Why? Because you all have the same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are all in the Lord. And that friendship and that fellowship, even with someone whom you do not know, living in a distant land, but when you come together to meet one another, to fellowship, you will find it such a great joy to have such kind of friends of like-minded faith. And your hearts knit together, isn't it? Paul, in fact, also sometimes ended his letter with a list of personal greetings, which we see in Romans 6. But the Apostle John did not do this here, not in this letter. He wanted to have Gaius convey his greetings to his friend personally and individually, as though the Apostle were doing it himself. And so, the Apostle John here we see, he was an apostle with a heart, with the care and love and concern, not only for the church as a whole, as a corporate body, but he was concerned also for individual believers within that church. It is very interesting as we end the study of this letter to take note of the contrast between these two short letters, 2 John and 3 John. to see the balance of truth that the Apostle John presented to us. Second John was written to a godly woman and about her family and the church within her family. While third John was written to a godly man about his church. The apostle warned the elect lady about false teachers from the outside. But he warned Gaius about the dictatory leadership inside the church. The false teachers in 2 John would appeal to love so that they may deny the truth, while Diotrephes would appeal to the truth. You see, cleverly using the word of God in the most unloving way, he used it instead to attack the brethren. Brethren, it is important for us to learn with the help of the Holy Spirit to walk in truth and love, and to hold the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. To claim to love the truth and yet hate the brethren is to confess ignorance of what the true Christian life is all about, or what the true gospel is all about. When God's people love the Lord, love His truth, and love one another, then God the Holy Spirit can work in that church to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. But when any member of that church, including the pastor, becomes proud and tries to have preeminence, then the Holy Spirit is grieved and he would withhold his blessing. The church may outwardly appear successful, perhaps with a lot of people attending, but inwardly it lacks the true unity of the Spirit that makes for a healthy church, a vibrant church, a godly church. Brethren, we need to pray. Pray for ourselves and pray that the Lord will send to us or raise up more Gaius, more people like Gaius and Demetrius, and fewer people like Diotrephes. Let us pray that the Lord will do such a work in our church, in New Life BPC London, that we may indeed shine forth for the Lord Jesus Christ in this dark age. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we give thanks to Thee for this reminder, this exhortation from the Apostle John. Father, we pray for Your help. We confess, Heavenly Father, that we have very little concern concerning the fellowship and the various issues with the members of the body of Christ. Often, O Lord, we try to sweep everything under the carpet and we ignore, thinking that it will go away. O Father, as You have given us instructions how we ought to handle and to deal with such characters in the church, and also to deal with all these troubles and misunderstanding in the church, we pray for Your help. We pray that You will give us courage. We pray that You will give us wisdom, particularly to the leaders of the church, and particularly those who are office bearers, that we may know to do it in the right way that glorifies Thy holy name, out of love for Your people and not lord over Your people. O Father, we pray for the members too, that we may all learn to exercise our spiritual gift, to play our role according to Your word in provoking one another unto love and good works, that we may not be like Diotrephes, but that, Lord, You may, by Your Spirit, help us to cultivate the fruit, the spiritual fruit of humility, of meekness, of temperance. O Lord, we pray for Your blessing upon our church, that You will unite all of us who are who bear the names of Christ, who are united in the Lord Jesus, that you will give us one heart, one mind, one purpose, to love and to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in this new week, we pray once again for your help, that thou will be with us and grant us wisdom and grace and the enabling of your Holy Spirit as we return to our various work and responsibility, that you may rest upon us, thy people, your joy and your peace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.